Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's Friday gathering time, and I'm joined this week by Craig Hughes, political editor with the Irish Daily Mail. Sinead Gibney is here, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Rathdown. Olivia Kelly, Dublin editor with the Irish Times. And Timmy Dooley, Fianna Fáil TD for Clare. And you're all very welcome. Thanks for being here. So now let's start with the government formation talks, because we know that the talks have been ongoing. Timmy, we'll start with you on this, between your own party and Fine Gael. Will you just give us the lay of the land? What's going on?
Yeah, but I think it's kind of well known at this stage that the two main parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, have been in discussions over the past week and a half. There has been exploratory talks with almost all parties at this stage, including the independents. And obviously, all sides now have to decide whether they want to participate in the next government or not. And I think that's not entirely clear yet.
Yeah, but fair to say the independents are in pole position now.
Well, I mean, I think there's a number of parties that still have to decide whether they want to participate in government or not. My understanding is that exploratory talks have taken place between the Labour Party, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and the Social Democrats. So, you know, it will be a decision for them.
And how would you feel about the independents? Would it be stable enough for you?
Well, I think that remains to be decided. The independents seem to be more interested at this stage, but that's not to say that other parties, you know, haven't taken decisions or need to take decisions. That'll be up to them, and there's nobody putting pressure on anybody. There's still time for those other parties, such as Labour and the Social Democrats, to decide, you know, do they want to participate and do they want to enter more formal discussions and negotiations. But again, I you know, don't want to put any pressure on them. That'll be a decision for them. The independents from the start were clearly appeared to be quite interested.
Well, they got themselves organised very quickly, didn't they, after the election, the regional independence?
Well, I suppose they'd have had to, because parties by their nature are
ready to
structure
go.
are organised anyway, and would have had manifestos produced and would have a policy position in advance of the election. Independents tend to be more interested in their own local area, and therefore if they're to come together under some kind of a banner or under some kind of a policy platform, then that takes a little bit longer, and therefore they probably had more work to do. But yeah, they seem to, that particular grouping seem to have done that in recent
now,
days.
Now, the Social Democrats, Sinead, I know you're talking to everybody still, but it does feel as though the wind is out of the party's sails when it comes to going into government.
I don't think that's the case at all. We've had conversations with Labour, Sinn Féin, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, the two bigger parties just this week, and we met as a parliamentary party group yesterday to discuss those government formation talks, and we have committed to now having another round of talks. They were very high level exploratory talks. We need to be...
Do you get the sense that they want you, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
I certainly think from what I've heard back from our negotiating team that everybody has entered into these in good faith, yes. And I think we are doing exactly that. We have been absolutely consistent in saying that we will talk to everyone. And we are talking to everybody very specifically about our policy areas that we have communicated to the electorate in advance, and that electorate voted for us on that basis. So that is why we want to be clear and focused on that in our talks. Okay. And that's what we're going to continue.
So, Craig, what are people saying to you? Who do Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil want?
I think it's very difficult to get away from the pathway that's been set now with the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael forming a coalition with the regional independents. I think it would take too much of a jump or too many concessions really on policy from those two parties to go with Social Democrats or Labour. I expect Labour are likely to rule themselves out today, I would say, after they meet at 1 o'clock. And also you have to remember Social Democrats, that it would be a membership vote on whether they were to go into coalition as well. I think that would be very difficult. I think it would require an awful lot from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael side in terms of concessions compared to what they would have to do with the regional independents to get that over the line. So I just see it as being extremely unlikely at this stage.
Right. And Sinead, how damaging do you think the Owen Hayes issue was for the Soc Dems this week? You know, losing your TD as you did, he's been suspended from the party, as people know, over the Palinter Technologies share transaction.
I mean, I think it's a really unfortunate week for all of us, and it's been a very difficult week for all of us. I mean, relating to government formation talks, I don't believe that it is necessarily going to change the dynamic that we're currently in. Obviously, it just simply changes the maths. We have 10 members now of our parliamentary party.
But it's more than that, isn't it? Because people are asking questions about, you know, what questions the party asked about their candidate before you went into the campaign. And it's probably fair that people would have that view.
Absolutely.
But enough wasn't done.
Yeah, I mean, we have this week been very decisive in how we've responded to what came out. On Tuesday, Owen lied to the press. He lied via the press to the public, and he lied to us as colleagues. And we have been very swift in our reaction to that, in suspending him indefinitely from the parliamentary party. I don't think we could have been clearer in our response and our unanimous response as a parliamentary party to that. And we're all angry about what happened. And absolutely, there are questions to be asked, and we are asking them about what has led us to that point. Mm-hmm. And the fulsome investigation that we are now about to embark on will give us the information there.
We know that he's apologised for that now, hasn't he?
Apologised for lying.
Well, yes, that's how you characterise it. Yeah, he's apologised for it. Do you think there is any way back for Owen Hayes to the Sock Dems?
I just can't answer that yet. And I know that's probably not what you want to hear, but we have to have an investigation. Mm-hmm. We have to have fair process, and we have to do this right. And I think that's what we are. I mean, we have established ourselves and grown as a party with a clear principle of honesty and transparency. So to do what he did goes against all of that. And it's incredibly disappointing for us as new parliamentary party members, as new TDs, for the many members and volunteers who helped us gain such electoral success in the last couple of weeks, particularly for the Dublin Bay South members who campaigned for Owen. You know, all of that, mm-hmm. for his first action to go onto the plinth and do that is really just very disappointing. So I think, you know, that's absolutely something that we're reeling from, I would say.
Can I ask though as well, I mean, you know, if his line initially was that he'd invested the shares earlier this year, I mean, would you not have had that? I honestly, and I'd said to some of your colleagues that I still think that is a major issue for you guys. And I didn't know how they weren't acting on it then, because, you know, Holly Kern stood up in the Dáil in November last year and was saying that, you know, Ireland needs to divest itself completely from Israel. And she was went on to make points that inaction is being complicit with genocide. So I don't understand how, even if he was saying that he'd invested them earlier this year, how that still would have been acceptable to Social Democrats to have him in your parliamentary party.
And that's exactly the issues that we are now going to look at as a party. So, I mean, you know, there was a level of information that was in the public domain already, that Owen had worked for Palantir about eight years ago, I believe, that he did have shares. And that's very different to what happened on Tuesday when misinformation was provided to the press. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there have been calls for him to resign TD. Yeah. Do you think he should?
I need to wait until we have more information. And I think ultimately that's a question for Owen Hayes.
But I mean, you're very clear and forthright on your views. You're angry. You say that he lied, that he detracted from the party, you know, on what should have been a good day for you. Matt Carthy's very clear that he should resign.
And that's Matt Carthy's opinion, and Owen will have his own opinion.
But you don't share
that
view.
Like I say, I just can't say yet. You know, I genuinely feel that we have to do this process properly and get all of the information that we can. Like I said, some information has been out there in the public domain, but we need more information about, you know, what was known when, what was declared when, and you know, just be more fulsome in how we evaluate.
You, Craig, got an apology from Gary Gannon, didn't you, the Sock Dems TD, for how he questioned the veracity of your work in relation to this story. Do you accept the apology?
I do. I think it was extremely, you know, it was poor practice, and I think it was, you know, extremely naive, because I think anyone who knows me knows, one, my commitment to journalism, but two, that I would never give up my media profile, which allows me to shamelessly plug my music festival last night.
So he suggested that you were angling for a job as a government advisor, was it?
Yeah, that's right. And look, I think that's a kind of an easy way for people to deflect from questions. Mm-hmm.
But he has apologised, in fairness. No, do you accept it?
I do accept his apology, yeah. And look, we move on to the next row, you know. So.
Right.
And I mean, he's fully retracted that statement. And, you know, again, just to say that, like, we see the seriousness of this. Like, this is not something we're taking lightly. I hope, as a legislator, to work very effectively with the press. It's a relationship that has its natural tension, but it's a very symbiotic relationship, and we have to work well together. And I also think we need to protect what is a crucial element of our democracy and the independent press that we have in this country. And I'll be doing everything I can as a legislator to strengthen that.
Yeah. OK, Olivia, what do you think, looking on at all of this? Because in the lead up to the election, I felt it was very clear, particularly watching Fianna Fáil candidates, that they were very interested in doing business with Labour. Now that all seems to have turned on its head.
Yeah, very much so. I think we always knew there was division in Labour about whether or not they wanted to go into government. You'd have to say, I can see why the parties Labour and the Soc Dems with those sorts of numbers would think, right, we've built to a certain level and we could be decimated if we go into government. But, and it's an issue that came up that Mary Lou raised after Sinn Féin did badly in the local elections, that if people start seeing you as a party that will just never go into government, do they start losing faith with you then? So the parties, these parties like Labour and the Soc Dems could say, well, we'll lose numbers if we're, you know, the smaller party in government, but will you lose numbers anyway if mm-hmm. you're coming to people's doors next time around and they're saying, well, I voted for you last time because I thought you'd go in and you'd implement policies, but it seems you have no interest in going in to implement policies.
Right. And Timmy, why was it that Labour were certainly seen, it was very open in the run-up to the election, Labour were seen as the preferred candidate over the Soc Dems? How do you explain that?
I didn't notice that there was any preferred option. I mean, I think the view was each party, including Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, sought a mandate based on their own track record and the manifestos that we developed. We sought that and we got it, and the numbers that we got, as did other parties. And then I think what we're now in a period of time is just a little bit of reflection. Try to put together a programme for government based on the policies of the parties that have reached a certain threshold, and then to see can you find a compatible partner that will see a stable government over 5 years, that will see the implementation of that programme for government. And from my perspective, and I think it's the view of most parliamentarians, it's about getting the policy platform right, and it's about ensuring then that you can implement it. And there's no point agreeing a programme for government in the sort of the sunset of the election, where everybody is sort of in that warm glow after the election, but not reflecting on the difficulties that will arise over a 5 year period,
yes,
with the international, the potential for international shocks, and wanting to be assured that your partnership will last the test of time, knowing that there will be tough days ahead.
Yeah. And listen, tell me, is John McGuinness going to be Ciarán Comhairle?
Well, I don't know. John has indicated that he intends to put his name forward, that he has the requisite number of signatures. That'll be a decision. It'll be taken by secret ballot. I don't know who else is going to be in the race.
I don't know where I read this morning that some unnamed people within Fianna Fáil feel he's owed it.
Well, I don't think anybody in politics is owed anything. And I think, knowing John as long as I do, and he's forthright in every respect, I don't think he believes he's owed it either. I don't think anybody believes they're owed
anything. But it's
anything,
shaping so. Up to be a right battle now for the job, isn't it?
Well,
Verona,
Seán
Ó Fíorchaoin, John McGuinness. Anyone else?
Next week looked as if it was going to be a relatively damp squib where everybody would come back and that there'd be nice happy days. Now it looks like a contest, so there'd be a bit of media focus and attention, Claire, which will help to fill the column inches and the airways.
Craig?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the introduction of Verona Murphy into this contest has been interesting and has been kind of painted as a way to kind of give something to the regional independents as part of the overall package that they may get. And I was kind of going through a different variations of what those roles could be. I still think there's a solution that they'll have to find to accommodate the people in the regional independents who want jobs out of this. But I can't see the pathway for Verona at the moment, because if you think about it, you know, I don't think anyone in Fine Gael will be voting for her, given her history with that party. And Fianna Fáil, you have two different factions emerging who will be backing their own horses in it.
Isn't there a theory, though, that if she's guaranteed their seat, and it is considered a Fine Gael seat, that Fine Gael might think that we'll win that back now in the next election?
I think it'll still be a bitter pill to swallow for a lot of Fine Gaelers who still feel quite bruised over their relationship with her to want to do that. And I also think that she won't get the transfers from the left side of the house if Sinn Féin put forward someone like Angus or something, for example.
Yeah.
So I just struggle to see the pathway for her there, even if the leadership of the two main parties say, you know, this is how we want you to go. We've seen a lot of surprises there before. Just go back to the last Dáil when Catherine Connolly became the last Ciarán Comhairle that no one saw coming, that she orchestrated a great a feat of political ingenuity there. So look, the secret ballot is one that they're not going to be able to really control, and as I said, I struggle to see the pathway for getting
so that. Listen, will the regional independents be looking for whatever, various different things for their constituents, Timmy, or do they want junior ministries?
Yeah, well, I don't think that the discussions have reached that level of detail yet. Of course, if they're going to participate in government, they're going to have to have an input into the programme for government. And that will entail issues that are of a national level but have implications for their constituencies.
I know, we know that, but seats at the table.
They've had it in the past. The independent grouping that supported a previous Fine Gael and Labour government did participate well to the best of my recollection. Mm-hmm. Shane Ross was a minister from the independent ranks, Finian McGrath, John Halligan.
We had the Sean Kenny, Boxer Moran, coin toss situation.
They've all been around before. They've shown a capacity to work within a party, to work with parties of government, and to work through a programme for government. And they've held office and they've done that
If you look at the numbers, Claire, of how it could be divided up, if we say that Fianna Fáil will get an extra cabinet seat, right? You could have 8 Fianna Fáil cabinet ministers, 6 Fine Gael, 1 regional independence. Then if you gave the regional independence 1 super junior and 3 junior ministries, that would definitely appease them. And the Crowley also be arguing to give them 2 and let them shuffle around halfway through as well as one. So,
but not the Ciarán Cóirle job.
That's if the Ciarán Cóirle job is removed. I was basing that on. So,
I think we do need to remember the one thing that will occupy the minds, I suspect, of the Taoiseach and Tánaiste is in putting together a formation that will last the test of time. I don't think it comes down to just the numbers like that. Mm. I think it's about ensuring that you have a solid framework platform for the implementation of policies.
The seats are really important.
Whether it's independence, whether it's whether it's Labour Party or whether it's the Sock Dems.
I just want to have a word about housing now, because we did find out that house prices are overvalued by 8 to 10%, and we know they're only going one way now. Olivia, I want to come to you for the next year at least. And you were writing about cost rental, which was seen as part of the solution, but the cost of building those homes is becoming a problem, which means the rent is becoming a problem.
Yeah. It's anything that happens in housing has always got enormous repercussions and goes from the very entry level of houses. It goes right the way up, and it affects renters and it affects buyers and it affects everything. It's such a delicate, precarious ecosystem, really. Mm-hmm. The real problem with cost rental is that, yes, we put in upper limits for cost rental on your income to be eligible. In Dublin, that's 66 grand after tax. Now, that's after tax, so it's a good income for most people. And this is a scheme that's meant to be aimed at lower and middle income workers. Now, the problem is that you also, at the other end of your eligibility, you're not meant to be spending more than 35% of your income on rent. So when you do those sums, the cost of the rent in these newer Dublin based developments, it's a very narrow margin between your 35% eligibility and not going over the top of if you do out those sums, of the 66%. So there's smaller and smaller numbers of people who actually fall into that bracket. Say, in these ones now that have come out on stream out near Shankill, Shangana Castle, the LDA ones. Now, these are great houses, I have to say. They're lovely.
Huge demand for them.
But to qualify for the 3-bedroom house, you couldn't be going over your income. Your 35% would bring you to around 61 grand. But then you can't go over the 66 grand. So that's just, I think they'll still have the applicants. I think they will. But it's a smaller band of people who qualify. I don't know. People will be scratching their heads maybe to work out what I've just said there. But I can't think of an easier way of putting it, I'm afraid. And that is a problem with a lot of these systems. They're complicated for people to even work out. Mm-hmm. Is this for me and will I be eligible? And I have to say, I'm a proponent of cost rental. I really think it's something we do need in the system. It's something other European countries have been doing for years, and I think it really could help an awful lot of people who don't qualify for social housing but are really struggling to make those sort of market rents.
Isn't there a similar problem in the Dublin area with Help to Buy, where the upper limit is $500,000 and a lot of people can't get a new house for that, so they're not getting the Help to Buy, which means that they're being pushed out of the capital further down into commuter belt.
And any of us who remember what happened last time out will probably be getting shivers now of the previous recession coming back to haunt us, the ghost estates. Obviously there's a lot of the principles are different, but what the ERSI came out with, this year saying that, or this week saying that, house prices are 10% overvalued. people will hear a lot of echoes of what happened before. The reasons we're heading into trouble, and have been heading into trouble, you'd probably say, for quite some time, are a little different. You know, there's not the same over reliance on credit that we had the last time, and people being given massive mortgages. But there's pressure for that to come on, and the rates of mortgages have been increasing as well.
And I think that leads into exactly what you were saying, that it is smaller and smaller groups of people who can avail of home ownership at all, or even rental. And I mean, that's what we all heard on the doors over the last few months is, you know, I mean, in the Dublin Rathdown area, people in their 20s, 30s and 40s all living at home and all telling me that every year the prices are just getting further and further out of their reach every time they think it's in sight. And that's what we've seen in the outgoing government's last term is record house price inflation, with house prices rising 20,000 per year on average. Mm-hmm. And in every element of the housing policy that we've seen, it just is less and less people who are able to avail of it.
You weren't hearing that, Timmy and Claire, were you? People living in the childhood bedroom?
Sure, I do. I mean, I hear it in my constituency office.
All the time.
I attend a constituency office for
the past
5 years. So I hear it every day. I just was dealing with a couple of a similar issue the other day. But the solution has to be continued targeted intervention. But it is about supply. So, OK, the price will fluctuate based on demand. We know that it's market led. We know that the cost of construction has gone up very significantly. There are a number of factors for that. And we can talk about the war and the cost of energy and all of that. But it's also the case that houses are built to a much higher standard now. So the cost in relation to heating of homes, etc., will be less into the future.
All right,
the reality is it's about supply, continued increase in supply.
Yeah, but that won't
a change in policy.
That won't bring the prices down either. We've learned that on this programme. We've got to take a break. We're gone. We'll take that break now.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
And that brings us to the end of the programme. Thank you very much for listening. You can catch up on anything you might have missed on the RTE Radio app. The programme was produced today by the series producer Niamh Lyons, research by Emma Cawley. Our broadcast coordinator is Jarlath Holland. Liam Mullen was on sound. My thanks to the team as we head into the weekend and as we head over to Louise.